I am excited about being at Southeastern Seminary. This is my first visit to your campus and have certainly enjoyed the opportunity to get to know more about the work that God is doing here. Although I have heard and been keeping up with so much about what God is doing at Southeastern, we have Lee Childs from our church who is a student here. We also recently, in the last year or two, called a staff member, John Reed, who was a student here at Southeastern as well, and I am just grateful to God for what he is doing here on this campus. I appreciate Dr. Mosley and the opportunity that he's given me to come and to share God's Word with you. Dr. Mosley and I knew each other not only at Samford, but also at New Orleans, at seminary, where we both went through the master's and doctoral programs there together and spent many hours in the library and different places trying to figure out how we were going to finally get through with our seminary training. And Dr. Mosley has distinguished himself not only through the years as a student, but in many other ways, and I know that he is a tremendous blessing to you here at this campus. And I want to say just a special word of thanks to Dr. Patterson for giving me the opportunity to come and to preach God's Word from this pulpit. When we finished college in the late 70s, Southeastern Seminary was not even an option for us. When we talked about where are we going to go to seminary, no one really had any excitement, and no one even looked at coming to Southeastern. You either went to New Orleans or to Southwestern, and some even went to Southern. And we just really had no option in regards to coming here. But if I were finishing college now, I believe that Southeastern would be my seminary of choice, because God is doing a great work here. And Dr. Patterson, you are to be applauded for how you have taken this seminary and turned it into one that is proclaiming the Word of God without apology and calling out ministers who are going into the world and making a difference. And we thank you as Southern Baptists for what you have done here at Southeastern Seminary. This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. We're going to consider the subject of the high standard of ministry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And will you stand as we honor the reading of the holy word of our Lord? Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we want to look at the phrase, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. The word of God declares, be ye holy as I am holy. The standard is set. The bar has been raised to a level that sets you apart from the world and commits you to Christ. We have no excuse to offer if we fail to shine brightly the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Paul admonishes us in Ephesians chapter 4 to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. When you said yes to God's call, you accepted God's way. The prophet would state that his pillar is a stone. Our Lord and Savior would say that the fox have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. When we said yes unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his call upon our lives to commit ourselves to full-time vocational ministry, what a privilege and what an honor God bestowed upon our life. And as we accepted God's call within our life, we accepted a call of righteousness and a call of holiness and a standard that God has set for all who follow him and for all who are his ministers of his gospel. To compromise his standard is sin. To change his standard in any way for our purposes is deception. And to ease his standard is to extinguish his power that is found within us. The standard of God for our lives is the standard of holiness. Not a holier-than-thou attitude, not looking down our holy noses at sinners all around us. We are holy because he is holy. We are holy because he dwells within us. If we gathered all of the righteousness And if we brought together all of the holiness that we possess on our own and we placed it at this platform today, we would see a pile of filthy, greasy, godless, dirty rags. Because that is who we are. And when the Lord enters into our life, we possess holiness. Holiness comes from the presence of Almighty God through His Holy Spirit within our lives. You embrace holiness through your obedience unto the Lord. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to prayer. Obedience to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Obedience which says more of Christ and less of self. And when people see Jesus Christ in you, they are witnessing the very holiness of God. Let me illustrate this morning, and I'm grateful that I put a note on this because they were going to take this and move it out earlier, and I'm glad that I put a little note there that they would keep it here. In order for us to understand in some ways the holiness of God, throughout the Scripture, we find that white is associated with the purity and with the holiness of our Lord and our Savior, and I hope that I use tide on this so there are no spots that would anyway mar this morning. As we think about the holiness of God, we realize that outside of the Lord that we are in our sin. We realize that outside of the Lord we are lost and going to an eternal hell. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy and His grace for us, He has called us unto Himself unto salvation. And when we say yes unto Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we enter into the realm of His holiness. And it is a wonderful place to be in the holiness of God. You remember the moment when you said yes unto the Lord and you confessed your sins and the Lord cleansed you of all unrighteousness. That moment where you passed from death into life. That moment where you once were lost and now you are found. You remember what a tremendous experience of cleansing, what a burden that was released from you. The bondage, the shackles were no longer around your life and you were free, yes, free indeed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you entered into that precious relationship with Him. And you're in that place of holiness. Holiness. There's a great hymn that we sing that describes the holiness of God. And I want you just to join with me in singing that this morning. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. To find yourself in the midst of the holiness of God is to realize how unworthy we are and how privileged we are to know our Lord and Savior, and to know the blessings of the cleansing of our sin and His presence within our life. But unfortunately, We experience that great time of holiness and God living and dwelling within our lives through His Spirit. And we find ourselves moving into seasons of unfaithfulness at times within our heart. Not just those who are part of our church, but those who are the called unto ministry. Those that God has set apart to be His ministers, His leaders, His voice in a lost and dying world. We find that we allow sin to come into our life. We don't pray like we once prayed. We're not as faithful in the Word as we once were faithful in the Word. We don't take the time to witness anymore. Remember how you once had that passion? You couldn't hardly pass a person without asking them about their relationship with Christ. And now that no longer is an issue for you. You're here on a seminary campus and Sunday morning comes and you don't seem to find your way to church. Sunday night and you're not in God's house. Wednesday night and you're not faithful to the Lord. Outreach of that body of believers and you don't go. But yet you expect that sometime out in the future when you are paid to be at a church that God will bless you then. You see, we take that holiness of our Lord and we mar it with our garbage. We mar it with our sin. We mar it with our unfaithfulness that we have within our life. And when you choose to rebel against the standard of the holiness of God, you are silencing your effectiveness as a minister of the gospel. Your spiritual perception of the needs of others is dulled. Your spiritual insight into the Word of God is weakened. Your spiritual gifts are tarnished. Your spiritual zeal for the lost is lessened. Your spiritual usefulness is hindered. You cannot ignore the standard of holiness and be counted worthy of this calling. You may be asking, why isn't my ministry effective? You know, why isn't my ministry filled with power? Why isn't the ministry that I am a part of anointed by God? Why isn't my ministry experiencing the miraculous touch of the Lord? Well, I will ask you, are you walking worthy of the vocation of which you were called of God? Your eyes cannot wander into the world and you be worthy. Your mind cannot be filled with impure thoughts and you be worthy. Your hands cannot stray into ungodliness and you be worthy. Your body cannot participate in wrongful acts and you be worthy. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God within your body. You must avoid even the appearance of evil in order to guard your ministry before the Lord. Satan will attack you from every angle possible, and only obedience will keep you strong in the Lord. I challenge you this morning to raise the standard within your ministry to a place that is pleasing to God. I urge you to grow in the grace of the Lord within your life. And there are areas that I believe must demonstrate God's holiness without fail within your ministry in order for you to be counted worthy. First is that of moral purity. Moral purity. Your character does matter in ministry. You must be a minister whose integrity is not questioned. Now, I have been blessed to have been in the ministry for over 23 years, and I presently serve as the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida, which is located right outside of Tampa. And I am accountable. We have over 3,600 members in that church, and believe me, I am accountable. I get the calls. I get the letters. I know that I'm accountable to that group of people. I'm accountable to a deacon body that I meet with every month. I'm accountable to my ministry team that I'm able to be a part of day by day. I am accountable to those that are my closest friends who are my partners in ministry, and we share our thoughts and we share our prayers together. But my greatest accountability is unto the Lord. For in all of my years of ministry, I recognize that I am accountable to God and to God alone for integrity and faithfulness within my life. And I am thankful to be able to say today that I have never had an occasion when my morality has been questioned. Now, I do not say that to brag, because I know that tomorrow is another day. I do not say that to try to put myself on a pedestal because I realize how easy it is for things to take place around an individual. But I know that within my life, I must guard my heart, I must guard my mind from temptation. I have learned the absolute importance of bathing my ministry in prayer, and I, by design, attempt not to put myself in any type of questionable position of sin. You must use common sense within your ministry. Just don't put yourself in a position where others might see and perceive something that even though it is not there, they see it within their own eyes. Put windows on your doors in your office. Leave your doors open when you find a female there within your office. Be within earshot range of secretaries and other people. Don't do things that you know that if others would see that, they would look upon that and think it to be strange. For our churches today are looking for people that the power of the Lord is resting upon them. And the power of the Lord rests upon a minister who is daily walking with God. Churches are seeking God-called servants who have been with the Lord. Some of you may be close to forfeiting your ministry today because you are toying with sin. You need to confess the garbage that you have brought into your life. You need to recognize that you are marring the standard that God has established. It is God's standard and not yours. It is God's way and not yours. It is God's word and not yours. And if you are going to be faithful in ministry, you must in every way be faithful in holiness before our Heavenly Father. Moral purity is an absolute for an anointed ministry. This past October, I had the opportunity to go and to preach in a country that is certainly where Satan's seat is found. When you arrive at the airport in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, you immediately sense evil. There's an oppressive spirit of bondage in people's lives. It's a country where people have lost hope. They live in tremendous poverty, and they have no hope of things changing within their life. But yet, the gospel of Jesus Christ is very much alive in the midst of this area of darkness there within the country. I had the opportunity to go and to preach in a stadium outside of Port-au-Prince, an area called Carfu. It was the first evangelical stadium event that had been held in Haiti in over a decade. I had the privilege of preaching the first half of the week. Dr. John Sullivan, who is the executive director of our Florida Baptist Convention, preached the last half of the week. There were over 25,000 to 35,000 people who filled the stadium every night to hear the gospel. And there were thousands of people over that week who came to know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior there within the stadium. The services were broadcast over radio over the country of Haiti, over the Dominican Republic, into the state of Florida, into Miami, where there's a tremendous Haitian population. And the phone lines were jammed for 24 hours over the day, people calling in to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. As I stood in the midst of those people, and as I had an interpreter who was there sharing probably a better message than I was as I was preaching to the Haitian people, I thought within my heart so many times, Lord, I hope and I pray that there will be absolutely nothing within my life, absolutely nothing, not even a minute detail, Lord, within my life that will hinder the power of the Lord Jesus Christ from being seen and heard through what I will say and what I will do. You see, if you mar your life with garbage, then you will never be able to be counted worthy of what God has called you to do. You must proclaim within your life, this is the Lord's word. You must proclaim within your life, thus says the Lord. And you not only tell that to others, but you allow that to infiltrate every fiber of your being and to change who you are. For you cannot proclaim that word until that word has truly changed your life into the image that God desires for you to be. And you must, through moral purity, set the example for your church. I've discovered that churches take on the personality of the pastor. That's pretty frightening. But they do. And I ask you, what example are you setting for your people as a minister? Is there anything in your life that, if known by others, would bring shame unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Be ye holy as I am holy, that our God would count you worthy of this calling. Another area in which we are counted worthy that affects our ability to minister is seen in your family commitment. Your family commitment. Your ministry will only be as strong as your family. Now, I remember sitting in chapel, not often enough, walking across at 9:45, and the question usually at New Orleans was, who's in chapel? And if we didn't know them, we a lot of times didn't go. And I regret that. And I thank you for coming and being here today. And I remember so often hearing ministers come and talk about family and the importance of family. I was married. We just had our first child. And we didn't have a whole lot but love at that time. We didn't have a lot of possessions. We just had each other. And we had the vision for the future of what God was going to do within our lives, and that was enough. And as I have grown through the years, I oftentimes have gone back in my mind to those messages and those challenges that I heard within my life in regards to family. And I know without any shadow of a doubt that your ministry will only be as strong as your family. If you lose your family, you will lose your ministry. The priority of our lives must be God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. And then our families must be second. We are taught within the Word of God, wives, submit yourself unto your husbands as unto the Lord. We are taught, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We are taught within the Word, children, obey your parents. Family second, and then church. Your ministry, third. Well, we have a hard time with that. We struggle with that. We take those three and we twist them all around. Sometimes we put ministry ahead of God, making a name for ourselves. Sometimes we put ministry ahead of family. We battle in that matter of priority every day within our life. If you do not effectively minister to your family, you will not be able to effectively minister to your church. I know many ministers who are great preachers, wonderful pastors, who are very effective members of staffs within churches. People that I went to school with, people that I have known over the years, who at this very moment, because they ignored their families, they lost their families. And because they lost their families, they are no longer in ministry. God does not expect you to place the church above your family. God does not expect you to place your church above your family. I'll go through the office. We have 13 ministers on our team. And I know what they've been doing. They've been up there at night. They've been doing this and doing that. And I'll just walk in and say, go home. Go home. Your wife needs you more than we need you today. Go home. Go to that children's event at school. Because your children need you more than this church needs you today. If you do not effectively minister to your family, you will not be able to do the things that God wants you to do within the life of your ministry. And Satan will snatch the joy of your ministry by attacking your family at every turn. And men, I want to share with you, you must allow your wife to share in your experience and in your calling to ministry. I don't know how many ministers' wives I talk with who come in and they just feel left out, abandoned. Their husband is passionate about the church. He's excited about being involved in ministry and fulfilling his calling. And when he comes home, he just melts down. And he has no excitement in regards to that relationship that even parallels the excitement that he has to the relationship that he has to the church and to his ministry. Man, you are doing a tremendous disservice to your wife if she is not your partner in ministry, if she is not one who is working with you, sharing with you. I know there are things that you can't tell her. There are things that she can't be a part of, but there are many more things that she can share in. And you must make the effort. You must do all that you can to include your family in your ministry. If you're walking in obedience to the Lord, then you're going to love your wife and children as God intends. And again, you set the example for your church. And your church needs to see a minister who loves his family, a minister who sacrifices for his family, a minister who gives time for his family, and a minister who loves his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I challenge you to furnish your home with Christian love, with holiness and forgiveness, and God will bless your family. There's a constant battle on the family front, and your fidelity to the Lord, holiness in the Lord, will enable you to have fidelity to your family. I talk with ministers who find themselves involved in relationships, some through internet, some through being involved with pornography, others who found themselves in counseling situations or in other type of situations, and they have forfeited their wives, they have forfeited their family, and they're in absolute dismay within their life, all because they brought garbage to that place of God's holiness. If you are spending time today with a person of the opposite sex, private time, time that you somehow arrange, if that person is someone other than your spouse, then you need to get away from that right now. Right now. Because you are moving into that area where you are in every way violating that covenant promise that you have made to God, that covenant promise that you have made to your spouse. And if you are not making your family an absolute priority within your ministry, then your ministry will never be all that God intends for it to be. The third area that I would identify in which you will be counted worthy of your calling is a little bit different area. It's an area that as God gave these thoughts to me, I thought, Lord, that's not something people are going to get real excited about. But yet I think it's so important. It is the area of physical stamina. Physical stamina. Ministry in a local church is demanding. You will have more demands placed on your life than you will ever imagine. They will be overwhelming to you. They will become so great of a burden upon you that there are times that you want to cry out, Uncle, Uncle, that's enough, no more. You're constantly being pulled in every direction. You feel a little bit like that person who takes plates and puts them on top of sticks and spins them. You ever seen a person do that? They'll get that first plate, they'll set it on top of the stick and they'll get it going. Then they'll come to the next one and they'll get it going. And then they'll come here and they'll get this one going. And now they've got three or four. And as they move out, those begin to slow down a little bit. And so they have to run back and give it a little boost and give it a little boost. And they come over here. And before long, you've got so many plates spinning that you're just running back and forth, constantly doing something but accomplishing nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. But such are the demands. You are constantly on the run. And if you are a faithful minister, then you are always giving a piece of your life to others. And you will never catch up. Phone calls, visits, study, committee meetings, ministry team, budget planning, vision casting, planning within your life, carrying out your ministry, you can reach that point where you become discouraged and you'll begin to question your own abilities and you doubt if you're making a difference and you begin to take a little bit of self-pity and you will say, does anyone really care that I give so much of my life? Does anyone really care that I'm constantly going, constantly doing? Is there anyone who really cares about how I am so faithful to God? Poor, poor, pitiful me. There was a friend of mine who went to college and seminary with us. We were serving churches out in Louisiana, up around the Kentwood, Louisiana area, north of Lake Pontchartrain. And he had just finished his doctoral work and doctoral study. He was sitting in his office, kind of feeling a great sense of accomplishment and pride over what he had done. He said, I was sitting there on my seat behind my desk. I leaned back, propped my feet up on my desk. He said, and I looked up there on the wall, and there it was, Bachelor of Arts, Samford University. 4 years. Whew. Master of Divinity, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. 2.5, 3 years. Doctor of Theology, New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Framed bigger and very appropriately placed on the wall so that everyone who came in would see it. Another 4 or 5 years of schooling. He said, I was sitting there just feeling so good about myself, taking so much pride in all that I've accomplished. He said, I heard someone moving down the hallway, and I knew that usually there weren't a lot of people in the building except folks that were there cleaning and stuff like that. And he said, about that time, this person said, Preacher! He said, I said, yes. He said, if you're going into town today, we're out of toilet paper. Could you pick up some? He said, it really brought it all in perspective. And that guy's eyes, all those degrees were about like toilet paper. It didn't make a whole lot of difference to him. He said, it really released the air out of my balloon. You see, we deal and we struggle with that matter of pride so often. And Satan will use those moments of weakness to attack your spirit. I recently read a survey about American ministers of all different types of denominations who had experienced moral failure within their ministries, and they were being polled as to what and why. And the most common reason given for failure in ministry was this: I grew tired. I grew tired. Didn't feel appreciated. No one seemed to really understand. I grew tired. And when I grew tired, the standard of holiness is lowered. You don't pray as you should. You don't read the Bible consistently. Service becomes a burden rather than a joy. You will begin to justify inappropriate actions because you're now walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And along with that, there was a plan that was given that I think was a very neat plan that will help you from reaching that low point and maintaining physical stamina within your life. Now, I'm not calling you to be the crocodile hunter today. That's not at all what I'm asking you to do. I'm just asking you to take care of yourself physically. Take care of yourself physically. For when you take care of yourself physically, you'll be stronger emotionally. You'll be stronger in every way. And you will not grow tired in the midst of ministry. And this plan suggests that you include a daily diversion in your schedule. Just something in the midst of the day that you take a break. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever you can do. If you're on staff here, check with Dr. Patterson first to find out what your daily diversion can be. There needs to be something during the day that you break away from what you are doing and kind of refresh yourself. They also talk about a weekly withdrawal. They say that every week you need to have a planned time that you are working toward and that you look forward to where you can withdraw. Have a weekly withdrawal. And then it says to also have an annual abandonment. Have a time during the year that you know you are going to go with your family and you're going to have a complete release with them. And you plan those things so you look forward to those things, and they're a part of keeping you pure and focused and charged up within your life. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy. May God count you worthy of this calling. Now, I don't know about you, but as I have stood during this message and occasionally glancing over, that really bothers me. Just the visual image of what this represents is troublesome. Because we have taken God's holiness and we have placed sin, unfaithfulness, disobedience upon what God desires for us to be and to become. But aren't we grateful that we have that precious promise within the Word that if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. confess those sins of impure thoughts. Confess those sins of not giving time to the family as you need to. Confess those sins within your life of words and thoughts that you know are wrong and inappropriate. Confess the sins that, Lord, my first love isn't as it ought to be. Lord, I find myself becoming lukewarm before you. And I know what your word says about the lukewarm heart. Lord, I want to confess today that the joy of the calling that I once knew and that excitement, Lord, that I had toward that in the midst of preparation, in the midst of all the things of life, Lord, it's just become more of a routine for me now rather than that true calling that I need to have. Lord, I need to confess those things to you. And if we confess, He restores. He moves us back to that place of holiness before Him. So this morning, I would ask you, is this the place you need to be? Are the things in your life today that do not count you worthy of your calling? Are the things in your life today that prevents you from walking worthy of the vocation of which you are called? I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about all things. Even those small things that you have allowed the evil one to wedge into your heart and you have justified. God's Spirit will illumine every thought of your heart. God's Spirit will bring to light every action of your life today that has marred that holiness and that prevents you from walking worthy of your calling. So we're going to have just a time of invitation. I know we want you to stand in a moment. I want you to close your eyes. And I'm going to give you opportunity to make that time of confession before the Lord. Some may want to come and kneel at the altar this morning and pray. To pray for that cleansing within your life. To pray for that place of holiness again. You've lost that sense of joy and urgency in the Lord. And within your ministry, you know that you're not pleasing to God right now. And you need to come and confess those things to the Lord. To confess those inadequacies, those deficiencies, those weaknesses. And pray that God will help you in dealing with your sin in such a manner that you will find His forgiveness within your life today if you will confess. And I'm going to ask you to come and to make that your confession at this altar. To stay where you are if that's what you're more comfortable in doing. But what is at stake here is not responding to a preacher. What is at stake here is responding to what God has called you to be accountable to God, to walk in integrity before the Lord, to walk in holiness that God will anoint and use your life for His kingdom. Let's stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.